9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We've been in this chapter for a little bit of time, and I was just about to say we're going to wrap that up tonight, but as I told you, I don't think that there's any way we're going to wrap it up tonight in the time that we have. I've got many pages of notes here, and I think that it would be worth going through them. It would be to your deficit for me to rush through this tonight, because the topic is self-control or discipline, and we all need discipline in certain areas. Some need discipline in certain areas that maybe others don't, but learning discipline, and so we're going to jump into this area of discipline tonight. I need it, you need it, and we all need it, and so I think it'd be very worth just seeing how God, we've got half an hour right now, and we'll see what this half hour takes us, and wherever we end, we end, and we'll make some applications, and then we'll get the rest next time, which will be in a couple weeks, because we have two missionaries in the next 2 weeks, so part B will be whenever, the week after, the second week in October, as we'll be getting back to this. But that's no problem, because this topic is something that needs to sink in, because we deal with discipline in a number of different areas. And so tonight is certainly a night to open it up, but anybody want to venture at some of the areas in your life that you, it's always been hard for you with discipline. Some people it's with sleep, maybe on either side. Maybe you need a discipline to rest more, and you might need to discipline yourself to rest less. Maybe your discipline is eating. Maybe your discipline is sharing the gospel with people. Maybe your discipline is, there's all kinds of different disciplines. Anybody want to share, what do you struggle with discipline? From day one, I think I have struggled with discipline with eating. That's been one of my things. I mean, and I really mean day one, probably. Ask my mother, and she would tell you. So that's something that I'm always working on, for sure. And something that I need to prepare. What are you disciplines in certain areas? Nobody except me. Well, no one's willing to venture out. Yes, sir. Okay. Sure. Yep. Time management is always, something that we got to be working on. I do too. Good. Any other disciplines out there that we have? Something that you struggle with? This passage is going to help us with some of these things. I know that you do have some of these things. Just because you're not saying anything does not mean that you don't have things. So we're going to jump into this and look and see how to, some things that Paul gives us to have self-discipline. Paul is giving some helps on the importance of bringing people to the gospel when we look at the overall picture here. And he has told us, he's explained our rights and privileges. He did talk about paying the man of God and making sure that he's taken care of. But it's under the umbrella of a bigger idea that he wanted us to get. And so he used that example of, listen, we have rights to receive this. And there's rights and rights. And why did God pick that certain one with the finances that he did? I don't know, but he did. But he spent the first 13 to 14 verses on that. And, so Paul explained our rights and privileges. We certainly have things that we feel are legitimate for us to claim. He then goes on to share about how, because of his current situation, though, self-limitation was the best option so that people could hear the gospel for love and the gospel's sake. And honestly, that's difficult. Do you find that it difficult to tell yourself no, especially with something you are rightfully entitled to? I do. If I can do something, why would I limit myself because of that person? And of course, that's love that we're talking about, but It is difficult, and Paul is going to come to this. We need to learn discipline because we know what's right. God has told us what's right, but we battle with our own self. We battle with our flesh, and we're going to find out that our self is the biggest enemy here. We'll find that out in just a little bit. So we've got to limit ourselves, And that's, of course, necessary for love and for the gospel's sake. So we're going to need discipline. He shared how we are to do what we can to sacrifice and be what our people in our lives are. And we learned about that last week, sacrificing self so that we can build bridges or keep bridges with the gospel for the lost. And so it takes discipline. It takes discipline to do right. It takes discipline to see that I have a right. It takes discipline to say, but I'm going to limit myself and for the sake of the gospel. It takes discipline. And so Paul is going to get into discipline here. How do we have discipline? Let's go ahead and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's read verses 24 to 27. Having discipline. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Father, I need your help in the next few moments as we begin to look at discipline, self-discipline. That it's so important to help us so that we would learn to do right. It's not always easy to do right, because doing right most of the time means saying no to our flesh and saying yes to you. God, sometimes it's hard, and we need to learn and know how to have victory so that we can be victorious. The victory that you've won for us, and yet we've got to apprehend that victory. And of course, through faith and discipline. God, help us as we go through this little passage, and help us to understand truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul compares some things of his physical life and the spiritual life. He uses a runner in a race. He uses what appears to be maybe boxing. And he uses these things. And we see kind of a formula that Paul gives to us to achieve the goals of being an effective, if you want to say, a soul winner. Because Paul's biggest thing here is he's, that by all means he might save some, right? He wants to do whatever to reach out. If I could put it this way, we might say soul winning, but honestly ministering to other people. Meeting other people's needs. If that's with the gospel, then that's with the gospel. And mostly Paul's talking about that. But there's an overall and bigger picture here of love. I've got to do whatever it takes so that I can show you love. So that I can prefer you. You remember the last couple chapters, if I'm doing something that is offensive to you, what does he say is the best thing to do? I need to limit myself. But that takes discipline. It takes discipline so that I can be an effective Christian for the Lord. And by the way, a lot of the disciplines that we have, whether it's food, whether it's time management, whether it's just the things in life, a lot of these things do impact our testimony to other people. And so it is important that we learn discipline, because discipline isn't just something that we can chalk up to ourselves so that we can lose that 10 pounds or, we can get more work done in a day. The discipline comes so that we can be more effective servants of the Lord, so that people can be reached. And that's really what Paul is talking about here. There's work to be done, but in order to get the work done, we're going to have to learn to be disciplined people. And so that's what we're going to look at with some of these things that Paul gives to us. All right, let's look at verse 24, and we're going to see something in verse 24 and verse 26. Go back to verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the, what? The prize. So run that ye may obtain. We go to verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. Well, I want you to see, first of all, that when we are looking at discipline, there needs to be some sort of a goal, some sort of thing that we're aiming at, something that we're shooting for. Paul says here, don't you know that all who are on the race course are competing? I mean, they're not just out there doing it. They're doing it to obtain something. They're shooting for something. It's not against each other, but it's to get victory. It's for the prize. You know, only victors get the prize. The goal, at a very high cost, is love. The goal is to love other people. The goal is to give people the gospel. The goal is to help somebody. This morning I mentioned about edification. You know, we ought to have a goal of trying to be a blessing to other people. When you come to church, what is your goal? I know we ought to honor and glorify God. That is our chief goal, you know, in everything that we do, right? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We understand that that is our goal. When we're talking about love, one of the goals that we have is we need to do whatever we can so that we can love other people, so that we can be a blessing, so that we can help. You know, Paul had a goal and he desired to succeed. You know, and everybody's out there running. That's not the big point. Everybody's out there, but we need to run so that we can get there, so that we can obtain. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. We need to have a goal with our love that we're learning about. We need to have a goal in mind that we're trying to get. A tangible goal that we want to get. Listen, I want to show my sister today at church that I love her. You might have a person in mind. I think it'd be a tremendous thing to come into a Sunday having a person on mind that you're praying for, that you're trying to be a blessing to, trying to step out and reach that person and help that person. We ought to have a goal. You know, if a person is going to be a disciplined person, is a person that has a goal. Think about the discipline in your life if you have no goal. No goal, probably no discipline, right? Why? Because you're not trying to get anywhere. You know, God wants us to be disciplined people, and He tells us that's what the main part of this last three or four verses is you need to have discipline. It kind of comes hand in hand. We've got to have some goals concerning our love for other people. Let me ask you a question. You don't need to raise your hand or say anything. This morning, when you came to church, did you have any goals in the area of reaching people and helping people? What is said about a goal that is not there? What happens when you don't have a goal? Yeah, you don't know where to aim. And some person has said this, you're sure to hit that goal, right? If you have no goal, you're sure to hit it. And so in the area of making an impact on people, if you have no goal, what's the likelihood that you're going to make an impact on a person today? Not much, right? Why? Because you weren't trying to. You had no intention this morning of showing up to church and being a blessing to somebody. That wasn't part of your goal. If that's not a part of your goal, you're not likely to do it. Now, isn't God good sometimes to put somebody in front of you that you're able to be a blessing to? And you weren't even trying? Well, that's only a good God that does that. But overall, we've got to have goals. You know, a person that is, you know, battling, you know, eating and weight. You know, if I just say, you know what, Lord, help me to eat right today. I don't have a goal. I'm not trying to get down. I'll tell you, in my endeavor to do right and be disciplined that way, I have to have a goal. I have to have a focus. For me, I've got to go all out. I've got to go for that goal. I've got to strive for it. I've got to go. I've got to show up with something on purpose. Listen, I am not going to do this. This is what I have. Why? Because I want to get to this place. This is what I want to be. And it doesn't matter whether that's, you know, physical, but it could be spiritual. If we have no goals to win people to Christ or to influence people, to edify people, we're likely not to hit it without a good God. I ask you this evening, what are your goals for impacting people in this church? Do you have any? Is there anybody in this church that you want to be a blessing to? I know all of you that come here. I know that you all would like to be a blessing to someone. Do you have people in mind? Do you have any goals? You know, it might not necessarily be focused on a person. It might be just on doing something. I have a goal today that I want people to see the joy of the Lord on my face and my demeanor. I want to impact people with what God is doing in my life. Maybe I have a goal today. I would like to share what God is doing in my heart. And I just, God, give me somebody to share what God is doing and working in my life. And if I'll tell you, if you show up in this parking lot Sunday morning with that goal, I believe that you'll probably much more likely to hit that goal because you have a goal. You have a point. You have a purpose. You want to come and be a blessing. You want to edify somebody. You want to encourage somebody through what God is doing in your life. In order to be disciplined, we've got to know what we're aiming for. We've got to come up with something. Here's, they're very practical. I think that we ought to just get before the Lord and pray, God, what do you want me to do? How can I impact the people around me? How can I be a blessing at Faith Bible Church? You have put me in this church, and I go to it. I'm at, you know, most or all the services. God, what purpose do you have for me? And we're going beyond just the ministries. You know, you might clean. You might, wash. You know the nursery gowns. You might count the money. You might have another teaching position or something. You might be a leader in a certain area. You might have a ministry that you do and a group of people that you're kind of leading. We're not even really talking about that. Talking about just our daily endeavors, and especially when we come to church, what are our goals with the people that God has given to us? You know, this building is not the church. It's the people. And I ask you, what are your goals? This passage, Paul is talking about limiting himself so that he can be effective with other people. Before we get into the self-limitation or the discipline, we must understand that to have discipline, though, to be even at all be effective, we've got to have some sort of a goal. Again, going back to the exercise or to the losing weight or eating a certain way, you've got to sit down and come up with what you think is right so that you can then try to hit it. If I don't come up with anything, then again, I'll hit it every day. Nothing. And you go nowhere. Now, this morning, I just brought that to your attention. We're supposed to edify. It is our responsibility. What are your goals of edifying? I want to encourage you, if you don't have any, I want to encourage you to go home. Maybe even write it down in your bulletin or write it down somewhere. Come up with a goal this week for other people so that I can edify, so I can be a blessing. What are my goals? Got to have a goal. Got to have something that you're shooting for. Got to have a point. Paul certainly had some goals in mind here. And he was fixed on the goal. You got to have a goal. Underneath that, we've got to understand, okay, so we get a goal. And I want to encourage you to go home, pray about it. Don't just come up with something. And don't drive in next Sunday morning and think, oh, Pastor Madrid said that I needed a goal. All right, my goal is, and just do it. No, I want to encourage you to pray about it. You just pick something, it's likely not to be what God wants for you. God has for you. Pray about it. Pray through the week. God, would you give me a goal, something to shoot for, someone, something that I can be effective in helping other people? Can you imagine if there were 60, 70 people that God had given goals of how they were going to edify the body of Christ? I think with all of my heart that there would be a difference. See, what we do is we battle self. And we're going to find out here that Paul is talking much. It's self-limitation. He battles himself so that he can minister. When we don't have a goal, we end up serving self. When there are no goals to help somebody else, we are here for self. I remember years ago, and I'm not picking on this visitor at all because it probably wasn't taught this. I specifically remember this individual. They came to church, and they had a few children, and they came to me, and it was almost like there was nothing else on their mind, and the question was something similar to this: what does this church have to offer my children? Now, is that a good concern for a parent when they bring their kids here? Of course it is. You know, what does this church have to offer? Well, at that time, we didn't hardly have any children here. And I got to say, you know what? We don't really have much right now. We do have this Sunday school class. We do have a few things, but there's really not much. There are not many kids, and so we don't, you know, we really don't have much. And the conclusion, he was very nice and kind about it, but it was like, well, then this church isn't for us. Okay, now, I understand that as a parent. You know, I would want to take my children to a place where there was something that they can receive as well. And that's a very important thing, that they receive some things. But what was missing with that philosophy? And again, forget that visitor, because I'm not picking them on them. What's missing with that mentality of that? And by the way, with a church with no children, if nobody with children ever comes, what will be the case forever? A church with no children, of course, unless, you know, you get kids that get married and have children or whatever, but there's no children ever going to come because this church doesn't have children, so I'm not going to contribute. And, you know, and part of me, and maybe operating in my flesh, I just wanted to say, but why wouldn't you come and let's start it? We've got to have somebody to start. Folks, what's wrong is, well, let me ask you, what's wrong with that mentality? I've already brought you into it a little bit. Who are we thinking about? I mean, we are thinking about ourselves. And I'm not saying that visitor was selfish. I'm just saying we have a mentality. Sometimes when we come to church, is what is this for me, right? And that is important, that we get something for ourselves. I hope that every time we come to church, we're fed, and that we can go out and we can use what we've been fed. But when we come to church, we've got to have a goal of other people. And the next thing that we see under this goal, when we have a goal, we've got to set our minds and be fixed on it. And I would suggest, when you read this passage, Paul was fixed on the goal. It wasn't just a goal that he said, you know what, I really would love to go to church today and be a blessing to somebody. No, he said, I want this to happen, and I am set on this. I'm determined to make this happen. Paul was fixed on a goal. This idea has the idea of tenacity for grasping the goal. Nothing will get done aside from this. Paul is not sidetracking anything. He's not being he would not be encumbered with anything. He has got his eye on that goal, and he's going to get there, Lord willing. And I say Lord willing because sometimes we have a goal, and God, for some reason, doesn't allow that to happen. And that's God's business. When, you know, I want to minister to so-and-so today, and they didn't come, or somebody else was talking to them the entire time, and I couldn't do it. And we don't go home a failure. We go home actually praising the Lord because God said no to it. But the idea is I'm going to do everything that I can. As long as God allows me, I am going to do this. Notice in verse 26, Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. That idea, not as uncertainly. His objective is clear. There's no confusion. His goal is a good goal. It's a righteous goal. As Christ was righteous, Christ would be his goal. Remember Paul, for to me to live and Christ to die his gain. He had Christ. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, what words does Paul use there? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That idea to press is to go all out for that thing. You know, as God gives us a goal, as we want to be a blessing, I want to be a blessing to this couple. I want to be a blessing to this family. I want to be a blessing to this elderly person. I want to be a blessing to this child, this young person. I want to be a blessing. Maybe it's not person-focused. Today, I want to display the love of Christ in my life so that others could see. Whatever God gives, then we come not with any uncertainty, and we press towards that very thing. We lean towards it, we reach all out for it. That word press, you know, has the idea. Paul used a lot of athletic terms, but that pressing, it was that leaning out, it was that reaching forward, it was that striving for that end goal so that he would get there first. That goal, that mark that he talks about, that goal, he kept his eye on that goal and he didn't let anything get in the way. You know, very practically, as we come to church, we get that eye on that goal. We say, today I want to be a blessing to so-and-so. You know, it's so easy to get distracted. So easy to get distracted with things and other people, and not that other people are distraction. And again, if God allows certain things, we need to understand that. But we're not talking about what God allows. We're talking about us. You know, what are we? Are we determined that we're going to do everything we can to reach out that day and not just be flippant about it? That's what we're talking about, being flippant about or serious about what God has given to us that week. God, you want me to reach out and show Christ's love to this person? God, would you help me? And by the way, it's not only just in our church. It could be people that you're ministering to. In fact, Paul is talking about the people that he wants to hear the gospel. You know, we've got to have people in our minds and in our lives that we say, you know what? They've got to hear the gospel. I've got to be able to give that out. By the way, you can really pray on this race casually. Is that what he says? No, he says, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. That ye may obtain this stretching out, this determination. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. We've got to put him on the top. You know, in a race, we've got a racetrack, we've got everything, we've got a prize. We've got a prize that we're trying to get to. We've got to be determined that we are going to go. You know, what good is it to run a race and not try to win? Right? I'm just in it to have fun. No, Paul says here, it's like, listen, don't go out there and just run. Everybody goes out there and runs. But you need to go and obtain, win that race. And of course, for the Christian here is the prize, the judgment seat of Christ. You know, go before him and he looks down and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did what you could with what you have been given. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29 says, Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. You know, there's a part of this striving for the goal of removing the obstacles that are in the way. Are there times when obstacles get into what we are trying to do? Yeah, obstacles come and we've got to do our best. Now, if your goal is to minister to a certain person on Sunday and you get there and a certain guy is in front of them talking, it doesn't mean you go and remove the obstacles and get out of my way. I got to minister to them. That's not what he's talking about. A lot of times the obstacles are things in our own lives, the disciplines in our own lives and how we say no to ourselves, no to our flesh. I don't know about you, but when I have another area of life when I have to be disciplined to, is witnessing to people. Now, I don't really have any hard time witnessing to people that I've already developed a relationship with. But sometimes I have a hard time when it's kind of a cold turkey sort of a situation. And I think you understand what I'm talking about. I have a hard time disciplining myself. And I have a tendency to not just remove obstacles, but sometimes even place obstacles in the path so that I can't. You understand what I'm talking about? We say, I don't have time. This person's too busy. They don't look like they want to hear this. Or they look like a Christian. They probably already have it. You know what? And I'm not saying that I do that all the time. But sometimes we work to place obstacles in the path when we ought to be removing the obstacles. Getting everything out of the way so that we can do what God has called us to do. And that's to minister to that person. What are the obstacles in the way of ministering the way that God wants? What are the obstacles that come in the way of love? We've been talking about love this year. We've been talking about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The things that get in the way. What are the obstacles that get in the way for us as we try to reach out to people? I want you to think through that. And maybe you've already made some notes of some things you need to do. I need to pray this week for a goal. I need to pray that God would give me tenacity in pursuing that goal. What about the obstacles? What keeps me from doing that from week to week? Attention on myself? Am I too tired? I didn't do what I should have done through the week so that I can be a blessing to that person this week? All kinds of things come into our lives that get in the way and prevent us from being a blessing to other people. Busyness. Focus on ourselves. We need to be careful and we need to get rid of the obstacles. All right, so we identify the goal and what we want to do. We decide to go all out for it. The next thing we need to do is identify and overcome the opponent. I mean, kind of bridging into it was the obstacles, but we're already out of time, and so we're going to have to come to that next week, identifying the opponent. And I'm just going to let you know, we all know that the opponent really is who. Who is the opponent in this thing of reaching out with the gospel? Now, we know that Satan's out there, and he loves to distract and destroy. But what does Paul say in this passage? Who is the opponent? It's ourselves. It's our own flesh. We are the biggest obstacle, the biggest detriment when it comes to reaching out and being a blessing to other people. And so we'll come to that here in a few weeks. But in review, what we want to look through tonight is, number one, what is our goal in helping other people? Do you have a goal? Do you come to church without a goal? You're just a runner. Or are you coming to run to obtain something? Are you coming to do something? Are you coming to get some victory? And that's what I want to encourage you with this week. Let's identify a goal. If you don't have a goal, let's get a goal. And it might be different from week to week. Let's get a goal. Number two, let's determine to go all out for that. Let's press toward that mark. Let's determine to press. Let's keep our eyes focused on what we ought to do. And let's be determined to get the obstacles out of the way so that we can be a blessing. God intends for us to edify somebody. Who is God going to put on your heart to be a blessing? Father, would you help us? This area of self-discipline is big, especially when it comes to ministering to other people. It's so crazy that we allow so many things to get into our lives that we pay more attention to. And in a sense, we end up caring more about ourselves than we care about the people that need our help. God, would you help us to get our eyes focus off of ourselves and onto others? God, would you give us some goals so that we can aim and shoot for those goals when we're here in church, when we're out and about, when we're with other people? God, would you help us? Lord, give us this. Would you help us to go all out for it? God, we want to be effective. We want to meet other people's needs. We want to edify. While we're at church, we want to show the love of Christ. But we need to be disciplined. God, help us to be disciplined. Lord, there's many things, many points to cover on this topic, but Lord, help us as we get them, to learn them, and be used to grow in this area. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.